Amen.
Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together, for an opportunity to read upon your scriptures, to figure out how they apply to our life today, to think about where you're calling us to be present and to share our gifts and talents with the world around us. God, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear with joy what you say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So we're continuing in this series a couple weeks of called Dream Big by Bob Goff. Last week we talked about, thinking about our dreams that God has for us. And today the title is Setting Expectations. You know, dreaming big can be difficult, and we can often be tempted to just talk ourselves out of achieving them. Maybe you tried once and things didn't come to fruition the way that you anticipated they would, and so we just put our dreams aside. Maybe we think of a dream, but it's too big that we could ever accomplish, too outlandish, too far-fetched, and so we become paralyzed in knowing where to even begin. We often may say, well, who am I, or who am I, or able to, or who am I to create, or who am I to do this or that? Who am I? Dreaming big requires us to suspend our practical way of seeing things long enough to look beyond limitations, logistics, the fear that can sometimes come. It requires us to realize that big dreams are often something that we can accomplish on our own power, but it takes community, it takes faith, it takes relationships, connections, miracles, maybe even a little luck. The scripture is probably familiar. Maybe we've heard it before, the parable of an owner leaving town for a while, and before the owner left, entrusted his wealth with his servants. To one he gave five bags. The NRSV says talents. The NIV translation, the New International Version, says gold. The New Living Translation says silver. The owner gave five, two, and one of something to the slaves and left town for a long trip. The owner then came back to see how things were going. The first two servants invested the silver, gold talents, and doubled the investment that was given to them. Meanwhile, the third one did nothing with it. Went and hid it in the ground, and all the translations say this, hid the investment. The third investor assumes that if he invests the treasure he's been given and happened to lose it, well, his boss would become angry and disappointed. Ironically, the strategy that this third person chooses results in the very fireworks that the poor guy was trying to avoid. His boss is furious because he risked, tried, invested absolutely nothing. Now, in three scenarios of the five, two, and one, we actually don't see one of the servants try to invest the money and lose something. But it turns out that the master comes upset with the third servant because he didn't even try. Even though each of the servants received a different amount, they all received something. If we look up the estimate of talents or gold or silver, we know that this was a significant gift that the servants received from the master. They were all entrusted with something of value. Most of the time when we look at the scripture, we think of it strictly in terms of money. And the smart versus risky investing, taking our chances with our investment. Many of us like to think of ourselves as smart investors. We do our best to take what we've been given and invest it with the greatest return based on history and projections. Some investors give money to their financial advisors who are trained in that area, who review opportunities and work to provide the best return. We can pick to go risky or moderate or conservative, and we realize that the riskier we are, the best return we may have, but the quicker we can also lose. I'm more of a moderate guy, y'all. It's the financial advisor's job to steward that money. And whether we like to think about it or not, we probably identify more with third person in this story than we like to think. We sometimes let fear motivate us. We can sometimes hold back because we don't know what the future will look like. We sometimes will just wait and see and bypass the dream that God has in store for us. And so what if we think of the scripture this morning, not just in terms of our money, but what if we think about it in terms of our life, about our dreams, our ambitions, our expectations? What if we change the word in the scripture of silver, gold, talents, in relation to money, and we think about it in terms of dreams, that God's given us dreams. God's given us ambitions and expectations to be a good steward of and to help us move forward beyond where we're currently at. From the one that receives five to the one that receives one, God has blessed us. Even though sometimes we look around and compare ourselves with our neighbors and we think about, well, look at how good they are, or look how talented they are, or look at their job, or look at whatever it may be. The fact is that God has still poured out more blessings into our lives than we know what to do with. And it's our job to take that and to do something with it for the kingdom of God. You see, when we talk ourselves out of moving forward, we're radically reducing our return and opportunity for God to use you and I in a godly way. When we look around and fearfully forecast the worst possible outcome, instead of realizing that God is going ahead of us the whole time, we're second guessing our dream and, more importantly, God's ability to bring dreams to a reality. When it comes to doing big things, God wants us to. He wants us to set absurd expectations, to go after the dreams that God has for us in the kingdom of God, realizing that the greatest sense of fulfillment will come in our service to others and not ourselves. To find a way forward, to focus on people, to pursue small opportunities that make a great difference in the kingdom of God. What if we didn't allow fear to dictate? What if we had enough time? What if we had all the money in the world? What if we had the talent in the room to make the big dreams happen? Would we go after it? Would we look to achieve it? Or would we hold back? When we think about achieving dreams, we have to think about going forward. What would we risk for it? What if we messed up? Would we get back up again? When we look around the world, when we look at hunger, when we look at poverty, when we look at disease, when we look at people struggling, how do we move forward to accomplish what God desires? What kind of effort do we put into it? What type of expectation do we hold? Now, this has nothing to do with eliminating hunger or finding cures, but it's about expectation. I don't play as much pickleball anymore, but I have kind of switched gears, and I go to the gym called Orange Theory pretty often, like six or seven days a week, but pretty often. But this week we have these things called benchmarks. I think I've told you about these before. They're markers and time that kind of dictate our, tell us about our progress that we're making or not making. And so this week we had one of our markers that we normally do. It's called the 1 mile benchmark. How fast you can run a mile. It's on a treadmill. And so, you know, 6 years ago I ran this mile benchmark at, you know, 5 minutes and 33 seconds. And so the next 6 years now, I've been trying to beat that time, and I haven't been able to. You can see your progress. And so I walked into the gym this week knowing that it was the mile benchmark day, and I had no expectation of beating that time. And the studio manager was like, "How you doing today? Good. How fast are you going to run it?" And I said, "Well, my fastest is this, but I'm not going to do that." But she said, "Yeah, you are." And so I started the treadmill. I felt good. I'm warming up. And then the time came when it was time to run this mile. And the time started, and I started, and then I kept going, and I kept going. And somehow I got a 5:32. And I beat the time that I had like 6 years ago. And so sometimes our expectations, others can help encourage us to meet the expectations that we didn't even think that we could accomplish. But somehow we can. God is with us. And God wants us to know that through Him we can set these expectations. That we're created in God's image, and that we are loved by God, and that we're forgiven by God. Bob Goff says in the book, "If it matters more what your faith looks like than what it is, it's time to start over again." Friends, we were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just within some of us, but it's in all of us. And then when we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people the permission to let their light shine. And we're liberated from our own fear. And as we are, our presence automatically liberates others. Many of us spend much of our lives trying to pretend it isn't so, and we refuse to really live into the true impact that God desires. Or we try to avoid having an impact. Or we hide it away. Maybe we even try to bury it. But God says, don't do that. I provided you with this gift, this talent, this ambition, this dream, for this purpose, for this reason, for this season. What God does best is He puts His trust in us to make the best of our moment in history. God trusts us. In this moment of history, to do something for His kingdom that furthers His kingdom along towards hope, towards joy, towards peace, and towards love. And then we have a decision to make. What will we do with this moment? Let us pray. God, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to read upon your word and to realize and to think about the gifts that you've given to us, the talents that you've given to us, the dreams that you've been given to us. God, so often we can, like the third person in the story, just worry about whether we're good enough or what the reaction may be, that we end up not doing anything. And so, Lord, may we use the gifts and the talents that you have given to us to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, to make this world the place that you desire it to be. And it starts with each one of us investing and doing what we can to further the kingdom along. God, we love you and we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.